Thank God for his song. Thank God for his word. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God, on this resurrection morning, God. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that I may decrease, that, Lord, you may increase, that, God, your people will be helped this morning. For there is a word from the Lord, God. And, God, we're praying right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word would fall on good ground and that, God, it will accomplish that which it set forth, God. I pray for everyone that's in under the sound of my voice, that they would hear your voice and not mine, and that, God, they might receive your word with gladness, Father, and that all of us might be impacted by your word, God. We know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we need you this morning. We can't do it without you, God. I cannot preach without you, God. We ask this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, this is resurrection morning. And this is a time in which we traditionally get dressed up in our finest of finest. And we attempt to put our best foot forward to come out here and worship God. There are some people here today that we won't see until next Christmas or Easter. And that's okay. But you need to take what we're going to give you today, because you need to understand, and that's all of us, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are times that we gloss right over it. He got up. And we don't really understand the significance of it. We don't understand what it has done in our lives. We don't understand the completeness it brings to us. You see, because when we begin to look at the resurrection, we see our own human brokenness. And so therefore, I want to try and explain to you as best as I can this morning the significance of the resurrection. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It's where we'll get one of the clearest descriptions of the resurrection and what it means to us. If you would, say amen when you found it. If you haven't found it yet, you need more Bible study. Amen, 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 amen. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We'll begin our reading at verse number 12 and conclude with verse number 23. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse number 12, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some amongst you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Jesus Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not," listen here, "then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them which that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward that they are Christ at his coming. From this portion of text, I would like to take for thought this morning the gospel, the resurrection, and the victory. The gospel, the resurrection, and the victory. I would have to admit that I am a sore loser. I don't like losing, especially when it comes to my soul. And I'm just Holy Ghost glad that God has given me the victory. I am one of the ones that can sing the song, "Victory is mine. Victory is mine." I told Satan, "Get behind me." Why? Because I've got the victory. But understand the fact that we don't have the victory based upon our own merits. We don't have the victory because we've been so good. We don't have the victory because we come to church and we work in church ministries. That's not what gives us the victory. It's not even a fact of our obedience unto God, but we have the victory because we have put our faith in God. It is our faith and our trust that we put in God that gives us the victory. Well, what are you putting your faith in? What are you trusting in? Because that's what faith is. Faith is believing something even though you cannot see it. You believe it as though it's right there, but you cannot see it. You cannot touch it. You can't handle it, but you believe it as being so. So my question to you this morning is that what is your faith in? Well, Paul takes this opportunity and he teaches this church at Corinth a lesson about the resurrection. Because some of them had begun to doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ and therefore began to doubt the resurrection of themselves. Because what do we really have in this earth if there's not hope in the resurrection? And I love the way that Paul begins this 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And he opens it up with clearly defining the gospel and what the gospel is. Because there are a whole lot of people out there that have the gospel messed up. They think that the gospel is getting money. They think it is getting plenty of people in their churches. But the gospel message is intended to change lives. He opens it up like this. He says in verse number one, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now understand that the gospel is good news. It is the good news. It is good news. And the good news is that all of us were once lost in our sin and on our way to hell. Put it plainly to you. That's exactly what it means. That we were lost in our sin. That we could not pay for our own sin. And therefore, we still owe God a debt of sin. The good news is that God sent Christ to take care of that. So he said that I declare unto you the gospel, listen here, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you saved. So in other words, Paul is saying, listen, you've already received the gospel message. You've already received the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried and rose again. He goes on to tell them that in verse number three, he said, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." In other words, it had been prophesied that Jesus Christ would give his life for us. He did not just come down here to be a good person. He did not just come down here to be a teacher or a prophet. But according to him, he came that he might serve. Let me slow up. He came that he might be a servant and that he might give his life for the sins of the world. But it wasn't just that, because if we stop with the fact that he just died, there's nothing good about that. For a long time, I couldn't understand why they called Good Friday Good Friday. There was nothing good about Good Friday. I mean, if you really look at Good Friday was a bloody mess. It was a horrific scene. There was nothing really good about it until Sunday came. It was Sunday morning. Because not only did it say that he died, he said, according to the scriptures, he said, but he was buried according to the scriptures. Now understand what this denotes. This denotes that Jesus died a physical death. As mama, you say he was graveyard dead. That they buried him in a tomb. But the record declares that he rose on the third day with all power. It was the resurrection that gave power to his death. The significance of the resurrection is that Jesus paid for our sin. And listen here, our sin didn't keep Jesus in the grave. You see, because we would die for our own sin. And understand, listen, there's a difference between the resurrection and being raised from the dead. There are times that we want to use them synonymously and lump them together, but there's a significant difference between this. Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. And what this means is that Jesus said that because I am the resurrection, not only will you have life, but you'll have eternal life. You know in John's gospel, he rose Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus' death had little bit to do with me. None of my sins were poured out on Lazarus when he died. So when Lazarus rose from the dead, it just affected them right there. It affects us that we might be able to see it and read about it and see the power of Jesus over death. But it did nothing for my sin. But conversely, the resurrection of Jesus Christ took care of all of my sin, all of my mishaps, everything that was negative. God took care of all of it. Because he took every sin that I committed and with a pitcher just poured it out on Jesus Christ. But listen here, it didn't just happen for me. It happened for everybody. The Bible says he died for the sins of the world. And if Jesus paid this awesome price for you and me to have the victory, then why won't we receive it? If he went through everything that he went through, then why won't we receive it? Here's one of the things that the Lord is enlightening about me, because a lot of times, like I say, we will gloss over the gospel, we'll gloss over the resurrection as just something, a historical notation. But what you need to understand is that Jesus suffered a physical suffering that can be felt. A lot of times we think that because he was fully God, he didn't really take on everything, but Jesus took on everything. Why? Because he was fully man as well. Jesus' agony began in the Garden of Gethsemane, but understand it didn't end there. It didn't end there, because he suffered in the fact that Judas Iscariot betrayed him. Peter denied him. The same people that he came to seek and to save yelled, "Crucify him." Pontius Pilate condemned him to death. Herod the king mocked him. But all of us nailed him to the cross. It was all of our sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. So we're just as guilty as they are. Why? Because all of us are sinful people, and we need to have our sins forgiven and dealt with. This is agonizing for Jesus to have his disciples run out on him, to forsake him after all you've done for them, Lord. They've forsaken him. And guess what? We do the same thing. When we don't adhere to the gospel message, listen here, when we don't live like God has done something for us, when we forget about the suffering, the agony that he went through for us, when you don't take the opportunity to spend at least some time with God in prayer and in thanksgiving for what he's done for you, when you realize that even though he suffered on that cross, that was not the end for him. There's a second act. Yes, Friday was horrible. It was terrible. There was nothing good about it. But Sunday's coming. And so he rises from the grave. Look at this text. The text that some kind of way that these Corinthians, and we don't know why, but they had lost focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I don't know whether the Sadducees had got into them and had begun to talk to them and to teach them that there is no resurrection of the dead. Because the Sadducees was a sect during Jesus' time that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in miracles, they didn't believe in any of that stuff. That's why they were sad. You see. They had nothing to be glad about. They had nothing to be happy about. All hope was lost. And so Paul comes to restore hope in them. Look at what he says. He said in verse number 12, he said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead," in other words, you've already heard the preaching of the message, "how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Now understand that Paul is speaking for a place of personal experience. Because if you look at right after he gives the gospel in this chapter, he begins to tell of the witnesses that seen him when he rose. And look at it. Who do he start with? He starts with Peter, the one that denied him, the one that was hope, all hope was lost. He starts with Peter. He said Peter was the first one to see him. And you remember Peter ran to the tomb. Once he got word of it, he was one of the first disciples to get to the tomb. He said Peter seen him. He said then he showed himself to over 500 people had seen him, witnessed his resurrection. You know, Paul's saying, listen here, if you don't believe my account, he said some of them same folk are still alive. If you don't believe me, go to them and ask them. Well, I guarantee you that ain't none of them folks still alive right now. But what we do have is that we have the recorded word of God. We have God's word that testifies to the fact that Jesus rose on the third day. And because he rose, we've been justified. Justified means it's a legal term. It does not say that we're not guilty. All of us are guilty of something. You don't have to look very far. Every last one are guilty of something. But what God is saying is that he said, "I'm not holding it to your account." That's what justification means. Justification said that God, I've taken your sinfulness. I've taken everything that is unlike me, and I've taken it from you. I've replaced it with my righteousness, with my holiness. Now go out and walk in it. This is what God did for us. And because of that, I feel a sense of gratitude, a sense of indebtedness to God. I feel this sense of giving God back something, and all I have to offer him is my soul. All I have to offer him is my faith and my trust in him. And that's what I do. Here he said that you've got it all mixed up. He said, because if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If you don't believe the basic principles, the resurrection of the dead, Jesus has already declared that I am the resurrection and the life. If you don't believe it, listen, it's not an easy thing to believe that a man suffered such a horrible death on the cross, even to the piercing him in the side to assure that he was dead. And you're telling me that on 3 days, he got up from the grave. That's kind of difficult. But understand this, that this is not about logic. This is not even about biological. This is spiritual. This is faith in what God's word has said. And I believe it by faith. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then that includes himself. That because he rose, he's given us power to rise as well. Listen here. He goes on to say in verse 14, he said, if Christ be not risen, listen here. There's some things that he lists here. He said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. So if Christ be not risen, then we need to just fold up our Bibles. We need to close the church doors. And we need to go back to the life which we've been living. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then there's a problem with you. And I say that most respectfully, because my intent is not to offend you. But understand the supernatural changing power of this gospel message and the impact that it makes on our lives. Don't be one of these ones who are a resurrection denier. There are people in this world today that are still denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They've gotten so bad about it towards the point that they cannot prove that he did not raise from the dead like he said he would. So now they're denying his very existence. But you go throughout human history, and a lot of historians can attest to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the fact that he rose from the dead. Listen, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were the first ones to deny the resurrection. And they denied it before Jesus even was buried in the tomb. It was them that went to Pontius Pilate after he had been crucified and said that he had made this claim that he would rise in 3 days. Here's the story here. He said, but we know that his disciples are probably plotting to come and steal his body and then claim that he rose on the third day. And so Pilate said, well, what do you want me to do about it? He said, we want you to make the grave site sure. And so he said, go ahead, put your guards there. Roll a stone in front of it. Seal the tomb to make sure that nothing happens. When understand is that everything that they tried to do, nothing could stop God's plan of salvation. That there's absolutely nothing that could stop him from raising on that day. Because it was a part of God's plan. It was all designed and constructed by God himself. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you are, how much money you got. You can't stop God's plan. Because when God puts a plan into action, it is sure to happen. These people conspired. Because whether they know it or not, they are a part of this whole plan as well. God takes away every excuse for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when it happened, they went back to the soldiers and said, listen here, we're going to give you some money. And I want you to tell them that you fell asleep. And while you were yet sleeping, the disciples came and stole his body and went away with it. Well, if you were sleeping, how did you know the disciples came? The other problem I have with this is that as a guard, the penalty for sleeping on guard duty was, it was death. But these foolish guards, they took it anyway. And the story is still being told even to this day. It's important that we understand that it is because of Christ's death upon the cross that delivers us from our sin. There is a big connection between his resurrection and the forgiveness of our sin. They are linked together. Look at verse number 15. 16. He says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sin. That's the connection there. When Jesus prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. His death is what bridged the gap between our sin and our forgiveness. Because if Jesus did not rise, there is no forgiveness of sin, and all of us are still on our way to hell. Every last one of us. That's why it's important that when you're witnessing to people, that you explain this to them. The importance of him raising, the importance of him dying, being buried, and raising on the third day. It's important for you to explain it to them. Because he who knew no sin became sin for all of us. He gave his life for all of us. But then here, in verse number 20, he provides hope. He said, but now Christ has risen from the dead and had become the first fruit of them that slept. Here, when he uses the word first fruit, it means that he is the first to rise from the dead, never to die again. And much in the same way, when we die, there's no fear in death with me. Because when I die, I know that there's a blessed hope that I'm going to rise again because he is the first fruit. Look at it. Paul goes on to give him his, listen, Adam was the first one. He ushered in sin. He is the reason why we sin and why we die because of our sin. Because it was in the garden that God told Adam of every tree that you can eat of except for the one that sits in the midst of God. Listen, this is what God said. For in the day that you eat of that fruit, you shall surely No, notice that he said, if you eat. He said, in the day that you eat. In other words, God already knew that he was going to eat from the tree. God already knew that he was going to fall. And just like he knew Adam, he knows us as well. God knows how sinful I can be. But yet he still loves me. Yet he still forgives me. Yet he still cleanses me when I repent of my sin and go before him. God forgives me. God already knows. But he still requests that we come and confess our sins. Why? That he might forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's all based upon his resurrection. Him rising from the dead. He said, in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the importance there. When he talks about all shall be made alive, those who have put their faith in him shall be made alive, not just physically, but everlasting life. He's come to give. Based on these premises, we have the gospel, we have the resurrection, and now we have the victory. In that same chapter, verse 51, it reads like this: behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. Did you get that? In other words, we're going to shed this body of sin, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't go where I'm going. You see, I got to shed this corruptible body, and I have to take on an incorruptible body. I got to shed this mortal body, and I got to put on immortality that I might be able to win. That I might be able to have the victory, and it's been done by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But brother, I love how he ends this right here. He said in verse 55, he said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Where is your victory? Where is it at? Christ has taken the sting out of death. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I've got the victory based upon what Jesus did. And the reality of it is that I don't have to worry about losing. I'm a sore loser as it is. But I'm glad that Jesus made it to where I could win. Made it to where I could have the victory. And you've already heard it in this message. How he went to Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin. How he didn't stop. How he went through every pain and every suffering. How he took the beating with the cat and nine tails. How they smacked him and they punched him in his face. He felt it just like you and I would feel it. They put the nails in his hand. They put the nails in his feet. They hung him between his father in heaven and his mother on earth. They hung him between two common thieves. Jesus didn't deserve any of this. He gave his life for me. He did for me what I could not do for myself. He sacrificed himself, gave himself to the nails, gave himself to the spike, gave himself to the piercing, the crown of thorns on his head. But yet he cried from Calvary's cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And it was at Christ at Calvary where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He quickly turned to it, is it finished? The work of salvation has been finished. And Father, into thine hands, I commend my spirit. They took him off that cross after he was dead. They buried him in a tomb. The women came early on Sunday morning, prepared to anoint his body, because surely by now he stinketh. They were going to anoint his body, only to get there and discover that he wasn't there, that the stone had been rolled away. They looked in and there was an empty tomb. They went back and told the disciples. The disciples came running, and sure enough, just as they said, Jesus had rose from the dead. He rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. The power that he has is the power to save you. That's the power he's talking about here. It's the power to save you from your sinfulness, from my sinfulness. But Jesus is still at work, church. He's still yet praying for us. He's still yet interceding for us. He's still yet pleading our case before the Father. Yes, even in these imperfect bodies that we in, when we do sin, Jesus said, but God, I died for that sin. I shed my blood for that sin. He's making intercession for us. And glory to his name. And understand that he's coming back again. I'm waiting for that trumpet to blow. I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to be raptured up. I'm ready to be caught up to forever be with the Lord. What about you? Are you ready to be caught up? And you must believe the gospel message. You must believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And you must believe it in your heart, not just intellectually. You must get it in your heart that you might be able to be saved forevermore and experience eternal life. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. This is Resurrection Sunday morning. And I'm praying that God will rise up in your life. If there is one here today and you do not know Christ in the free pardon of your sin, if you don't know that Christ died for your sin, this is your opportunity to come. This is your time to come, that we might have a personal discussion with you. If you're unsure, it's okay. It's all right to come. It's okay. Is there another? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is there another? This is your opportunity. Tomorrow is not promised. God wants to change your life. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. Come on, that's what it's really about. It's about love. Come on, choir. Jesus went to Calvary. Save a wretch like you and me. Thank you, Lord. Stretched him. Yes, Lord. For me, he died that. Come on, is there another? Amen. You may be seated.
Minor and the entire Macedonia Baptist Church. We have two coming. We have Sierra Cleveland, and she's coming as a candidate for baptism.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We also have Tamika Brown. She coming Christian experience.
Okay. God bless you. Church, amen.
Amen.
It's the best day of your life. This is an opportunity for God to take everything. Everything you've been struggling with, every problem, every situation, God's come to right your wrongs. He's the only one that can do that. And he's willing to do it. It's because he loves you. The Bible says that God loves us with an unfailing love. There's nothing that you can do that can escape the love of God. And he desires to do the work in you. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Amen, amen, amen. That is a giant step. And what we're going to do is we're going to have you go and have prayer with Reverend Register. He's going to pray with you. He's going to have some discussion with you. He's going to bring it home for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. How you doing? This is my niece. God bless you. I know you called this morning. You wanted to know get the address. And you showed up. Your baby's downstairs? Okay, all right. Well, God bless you. You know, I'm so proud of you. I'm glad to have you here with us. I'm going to ask you as well to go over Reverend Register. He's going to have prayer with you, have you fill out some information. And if not, everything checks out, we'll give you the right hand of fellowship on next Sunday. Baptism next Sunday. Amen? All right, go with Reverend Register. Church, amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Listen, I hope that you're going to have a wonderful time after church service. I was informed that there was no restaurants available, so if you didn't cook, you're going to probably be eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches tonight. Reverend O'Rear said the earliest you can get in is 4 o'clock. But I pray that this word goes with you. I pray that you'll understand and that you would live out the word of God. That you'll understand the price that was paid for you. That you'll understand the liberty that Christ gives you in his resurrection. That's important for us to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if our hearts are satisfied and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, please stand to your feet. We're going to ask those who desire prayer that you would come on down to the throne of grace. Kevin Smithman Jr., you might have sharp today, man. You looking good, looking good, looking good. Hey, all right. Thank you, Lord. That's love. Story. He rose again, that's love. Yes, Lord. Amen. They're still coming. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Come on, let's go before the throne of grace. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this afternoon, God. We come just to say thank you, God. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for loving us even when we were unlovable, God. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And God, we pray right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that, Lord, we will leave from this place with this word in our hearts, Heavenly Father, Lord, that God will show a greater appreciation for your gospel message, for your resurrection, God. God, we're asking that you'll forgive us, Lord, for our sinfulness, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we're praying right now, God, that, Lord, you're moving those areas of our lives, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we've hidden, and we're keeping them secret, God. That, Lord, you'll meet us in those areas, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we need to be delivered from, God. That, God, you'll touch us, Lord, in such a supernatural way, God, that we'll become obedient to your word. We'll become obedient unto the Holy Spirit, God. God, some of us stand in need, Heavenly Father, Lord. As a matter of fact, all of us stand in need, God. And God, I'm asking you that you'll meet us at our need, Heavenly Father. As you always have, God. And that, God, you'll make the desires of our heart the desires of your heart, God. We praise you, God. We lift you up, Lord. We know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we don't have enough tongues to praise you as it is, God. But God, we're asking that you would use this church, that, Lord, we might be a blessing unto you, God. That, God, we might bring honor and glory to you, God. Lord, even when we fall short, God, we're asking you, God, that, God, you'll lift us up, Heavenly Father, Lord, and that you'll give us a new start, Heavenly Father. Put a testimony on our lips, God. Put a praise in our heart, God. Lord, let us return into the joy of our salvation when we first got saved, God. How wonderful we felt, God. God, I know that we've allowed Satan in this world to beat us down, Father. But God, just like you resurrected us one time, God, you can do it again, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, there's somebody out here that's struggling with their faith right now, God. I'm praying for them right now, Lord. There are those that are struggling with disbelief, God. And just because we don't have all the answers, God, we know that thy word is true and that we can trust your word, God. Even if we don't fully understand it, God, we can trust your word, God. So God bless, and we shall be blessed as we depart from this place. Give us safety, God. But don't make us comfortable, Lord. Because, God, we're never to be comfortable in this world, God. Keep us on our toes for you, God. Keep us sensitive to you, God. Sensitive to your Holy Spirit when he speaks, God. We move. Bless us that we might be a blessing to someone else. Go with us. Give us traveling mercy, God.